Good Monday. Today is July the 15th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, insect pests making agricultural news, and we're going to visit with Chris DeFonso from Michigan State University, an entomologist, talking about the impact of growing degree days, something we've accumulated much faster this year, and the impact that has on insect population and our ag crop. We'll be back with the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Chris DeFonso. She's an entomologist at Michigan State University. A common question I think that a lot of wheat producers have, we see that Haitian fly date out there that's listed, and it's something obviously that we've learned over the years has some importance to it, and yet it seems like we find ourselves in some cases trying to get wheat in the ground earlier depending on the season and when there's moisture. Other times it gets pushed way past that date, and so it's not a concern. But what are some of the research questions being asked right now around that subject?
So the Hessian fly-free date is not necessarily based on temperature. If you go back in history, there was a fellow who had people write to him about, this is like 100 years ago, where Hessian flies were in development, and he did a longitude and latitude type of thing and came up with those dates. So if we had a degree day model, it would be much easier for us to rerun that model now because it's so much warmer, mm-hmm. and say, okay, those dates need to be pushed back or not. So right now we're sort of stuck with those dates as a guideline. And we don't see Hessian fly. There's a student at Ohio State who's sampling for Hessian fly. He's very disappointed. I've only seen two in 30 years, and he's seen none so far, at least here. Mm-hmm. And so I would guess that for the most part, the Hessian fly populations are so low that we kind of get away, if you plant a little early, you get away with it because the populations aren't there. But that date is still valuable for aphids, for instance.
Sure.
It's getting warmer. Aphids are surviving longer and longer into the spring, into the fall. And what do aphids do? They spread virus. Mm-hmm. And the virus is worse if it was spread in the fall than it was in the spring. I also, just on the tour, was listening to the agronomists, and they actually have differences or reduced yield, it's suggested, when you do plant before that date.
Interesting.
So, or you can't have a yield penalty. So there's that sweet spot. So I would look at that date and think, that's kind of a sweet spot for a couple different things. And then if you're going way beyond it, like you're in mid-October or November, then, you know, you're really taking a yield hit there.
Yep.
But on the plus side, there's probably not so many bugs left at that point.
So I know I've heard concern from some growers, and not so much with getting wheat in early, but that volunteer wheat that comes up. Inevitably, you've got that windrow behind the combine when it went through. You've got some volunteer wheat that comes up, obviously, before any new wheat that was planted. And so a concern was, could that be an environment that sort of fosters disease, other types of insects, so that when the new wheat is coming up that you intended to have come up, you know, it can migrate from one field to the next and infect that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. A pest always has to have a bridge, mm-hmm. to get to the next season. And sometimes the bridge is that they overwinter in the soil and they don't, you know, they come out in the spring. In this case, surely there are pathogens and there are insects such as Hessian fly that could utilize volunteer wheat. But some of them also can use other grasses. So
good
it wouldn't
point.
Necessarily, if the wheat isn't there, there may be a closely related something or other in the ditch bank or whatever that's serving as a reservoir. For those viruses, too, the virus has to be in live tissue. So it has to somehow get through the whole year. And that there's certainly other hosts out there for that virus that we just don't see and aren't important because they're a random weed on the side of the field.
That's what's making agricultural news all along the Maumee River Valley. And for the Maumee Valley Ag Report, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to continue our conversation now with Chris DeFonso from Michigan State University. So as we see our growing season changing sort of and shifting based on the weather and temperature, you mentioned growing degree days and how that could be maybe a more beneficial tool to use. What other things does that trigger in your mind when it comes to challenges that we need to do some more research on or things that get you excited?
Well, I mean, I guess I've been around a long time here, and I always said that if things changed dramatically, that was when I was going to retire. And now it does seem like, you know, I'm further north in Michigan. We're lucky we had winters before. I felt like we had winter. Winter's great because it's a downtime where things die, and you can kill insects, you can kill pathogens. We just don't seem to have that so much anymore. So if you look at northern Ohio or Michigan, it's... If I were a young farmer, I'd be thinking, what does Kentucky look like now? And that's going to be me in 20 years, then, you know, for a farmer. And, you know, what kind of pest challenges do they have there? The other thing, I don't do stored grain, you know, because it's too complicated. But, you know, we used to, again, have winter, and it would freeze these grain bins, and that's the best thing you can do to kill stuff in the grain bin. I can remember going to trainings in Oklahoma in the south, and it's just continuous heat and, you know, and pathogens and things that would affect grain in a bin, and Indian meal moths and all these things. And I can see that down the road. It's not in the field, it's outside the field, that maybe these issues in bins and storage are going to become a problem. But I'll be retired, so I'll just watch the new people.
So
taking
a look at the 2024 growing season we have right now and what you're seeing up in Michigan, what are some of the things that you maybe have got your attention, you've got your eyes open a little bit more for maybe than regardless of crops right now?
Well, things have just gone so fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been cranking along. And the other thing is that, I heard it here today, you might be the same on rainfall, but you got that rainfall not in a month, but in 2 days. So on Sunday night, I had a 4-inch rainfall at my house. And over, you know, in the East Lansing area, over by Grand Rapids, which is maybe 40, 50 miles away, it was zero. So that variability is really hard to try to counsel somebody. And even with a grower that's got rented ground in a couple different counties, just managing that variability, I think it's just going to be really hard. And I think that's the future. It may be that, you know, we have a higher temperature, but that variability in rainfall and dry, you know, wet, dry kind of thing is just going to be really crushing. I guess for this year, I had a lot of odd things early on, like a lot of alfalfa weevil. I had slug issues, which I know you see in Ohio. I hardly ever see them. I had a guy replant twice soybeans for slugs. It's like, when does that happen? I'm just waiting for something else bad to happen, like western bean cutworm or something. Mm-hmm. But nothing right now has risen up. But we've had some odd... I've been busy all spring, and I'm usually kind of waiting, and I've just been really busy with weird things. So,
Very interesting.
It's a really interesting year.
Well, great information and a lot of good input and things that we should be considering moving forward. Again, my guest today is Chris DeFonso. She is an entomologist at Michigan State University. Chris, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.